الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا ان هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على اشرف المرسلين وعلى امام النبيين وعلى امام المتقين وعلى امام المجاهدين سيدنا محمد النبي الامي وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه اجمعين اما بعد قدمنا الله تعالى في قرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنك لعلى خلق عظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق وصلى الله عليه الصلاة والسلام the creator, sustainer, and the cherisher of the world. His blessings and salutations be upon the one who was sent to dispel darkness when at a time the whole world was drowning in. And upon his family and upon his companions who sacrificed their time, wealth and their most precious souls in the path of Allah for the sake of him. My dear respected elders and brothers, we are gathered here today very joyful and a sad man. As we all know that Hazrat Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born on this month. It is Rabiul Awwal. His birth month was this. And very sadly, it is the month that he passed away and went into the rahmat of Allah. Every human being, irrespective whether he is a prophet, whether he is a rasul, whether he is a layman, a normal man, the tradition of Allah in this world is if anyone is born in this world, then he has to face death. In that order, the most beloved Rasul, the Habib of Rasul, he also has to go through the same tradition of Allah. He also faces the death and he went into the rahmat of Allah. It is not important that we live in this world and we have died. What is more important is that how we have lived in this world. Whether we have lived in this world to please Allah and Rasul, or we have lived in this world to gain the curse and the anger of Allah and Rasul. So this is the most important thing which is going to decide where are we going to end up after our death. This life is a very temporary life where Allah has given us this life to go good, to do good and to cultivate the pleasure of Allah and Rasul in order that He will reward us with the eternal life of Jannah hereafter. So those who have understood this, they will live accordingly. And those who have understood but failed to take it up in their lives, they will be the mere losers. They will be that will be their most regretful life in the hereafter. So my dear respected elders and brothers, the life that Allah has given us in this world is a very short period. Hazrat Aqdas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Amaru ummati ma bayna 60 wa 70." The lifespan of my ummah on the surface of this earth will be between 60 and 70. There are a few who will go beyond 70, and there are some who will die before they reach their 60. So in average, the Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the age of my ummah will be between 60 and 70. So it is a very short span of life that we are going to live in this world. Today we talk about Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make celebrations for Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We talk proud about Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We even get angry when someone speaks ill about Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are all part of Iman that makes us react. But the real part of Iman is what is lacking within us. Hazrat Sahabas, they knew the value of the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had the love in their hearts for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were there to give their life, sacrifice their life with an ishara of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, the life that they lived was 100% according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what made Allah praise them in Quran, saying, "Radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu." Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. This is what made them the stars, where Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "فَبِعَيِّهِمْ اِقْدَتَيْتُمْ اِقْدَتَيْتُمْ." Whomever you follow, you will not go astray. You will be guided, and that is the righteous path. My dear respected elders and brothers, Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his short stay in this world, a 63 years of his life, from the beginning itself, it is a guidance for us. First of all, Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he proved that he is a good human being. He proved that he is a good human being, and he wants us to prove to the world that we are good human beings. This is what the Sahaba of Rasul, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were able to prove that they are good human beings. This is what they cultivated from Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even before he was given the nubuwwat, the prophecy or the risalat, he was called as Al-Amin, a truthful person, a reliable person. He never lied, and he showed that lying is a deficiency. It is a deficiency in a human being, and it is not a quality.
My dear respected elders and brothers, lying is a weakness in a man. When you think that if I speak the truth, if I have spoken the truth, that I will get caught, I will be punished, or I will not gain what I am supposed to gain, then you start lying. It is a weakness of a human being. From the right of the beginning itself, Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has proved that weakness is not within me. That weakness is not within me. My dear respected elders and brothers, the khidmat that he gave to the humankind, the qualities that he had, this is what made him a good human being before he was given the risalat. I just like to ask you, this is not just a bayan, this is an interaction where you understand ourselves. Not the speaker is better than the listeners. The speaker and the listener are in the same boat. We are here to correct ourselves by interacting, by asking ourselves, am I what Rasulullah was? Let us have our hands in our heart and ask, how many times I have lied in my life? And for what reason I have done that? My dear respected elders and brothers, we would realize whether the weakness is growing in ourselves or we are getting the immunity for the speaking of lies. The qualities that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, I am very, very sad to tell you this. Today everyone talks about the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the akhlaq of Rasul, how he was. It is just a talk where people listen and they say the talk was very nice. That we were able to understand that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a great man. But when it comes to practice, am I ready to practice what Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preached? What is the guidance that Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us? Am I ready to take it up? Am I ready to implement in my life? Am I ready to reflect as a mirror in front of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That is what is more important than listening, than talking. This is the most important part. So my dear respected elders and brothers, as human beings we know that we digest everything very slowly. Very slowly we digest. So we have heard lot of things, but it has taken a long period of time for us to digest and to extract what is very important for our lives. It is the truth that no one can deny. It is not you listen to me today, you go home tomorrow and you become a very pious man, you become like Rasul Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is not going to happen. It is not the reality of the life. The reality of the life is that we put ourselves into a position where that we are ready to accept and ready to practice. Allah Jalla Shanahu wa Ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah is not going to change any kind, any nation, any person, unless he himself has the intention
and he tries to change himself, then Allah will definitely put change in him.
So my dear respected elders and brothers, the words that we hear, it has to hit our heart. It is not that we are seated here, we listen, we talk, and we walk. When we walk out of the masjid, everything is gone. And we walk back to our old life, what we were doing. It is not the purpose of this gathering. And we are going to talk about the seerah of Rasul today. How Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. He was a good human being. He was a good husband. He was a good father. He was a good businessman. He was a good companion. He was a good leader. He was a good father-in-law. He was a good son-in-law. Just imagine, my dear brother, how many characters a man can reflect, a man can be a role model for. Rasul-e-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah chose him to reflect all these characters in the best of the manners to the humankind, so that he becomes a role model for each and every human being who will come on the surface of the earth till the day of judgment. I respect the elders and brothers. We talk about Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We talk proud about his life, how he lived. But the question is, whether we are ready to take up his life. For example, he prayed to Allah, Ya Allah, Ahini miskina wa amiti wa ahini miskina, Ya Allah, when I live in this world, make me live as a miskin. Let me live as a miskin in this world. Then he said, amitini miskina, when you take my roof, when you take me away from this world, when you bring the death to me, that I should be a miskeen. I should die as a miskeen. And he said, وَحْشُرْنِي بِزُمْرَةِ الْمَسَاكِينَ. And at the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, when you resurrect, you should resurrect me among the miskeens. This is a simple dua, which Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask Allah. We put ourselves there. We say, Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a person who didn't even think about being a rich person. He was not running behind money. He was not running behind the worldly adornments. He was not running behind the worldly riches. He was a person who lived for the day. But where are we? Let us keep our hands in our heart and ask whether we have even asked this dua once in our life, Ya Allah, make me live as a miskin on the earth. And when I die, may take my ruh as a miskin. What is the dua that we ask? I'm very sad to say that people even go for Hajj. But the first time they see the Ka'batullah, the house of Allah, Rasul-e-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you see the house of Allah for the first time, and when you ask dua, it is accepted without any curtains, without any barriers in the presence of Allah. There are people who have come to us and told, Hazrat, when I saw the Kaaba, I just asked for a car from Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Maybe their ignorance made them ask that dua. But just imagine, a simple thing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We talk great about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But how far we are willing to practice and to be guided by the life of Rasulullah. I'm not saying that you should not be rich. You should not ask for wealth from Allah. What I am saying is whether we are ready to live according to the teachings of Rasulullah.
I respect elders and brothers. The type of business that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did.
He was a merchant, he was a businessman. The manner that he did the business, are we ready to do that in that manner? I'm not talking about the life after the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the life before the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He joined the crew of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha as a businessman, a simple businessman. The qualities that he had in doing business made the most profit of that year on the crew of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. So that she gave the responsibility of taking out the business and the carrying out the business on the shoulders of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I respected elders and brothers. Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us that not to lie when we are doing business. As I told you, lying is a deficiency. It is a deficiency. A weakness within you. If you can't speak the truth and sell your goods, that means there is a weakness inside you that you lie to your customer. You betray your customer. You cheat on your customer. And you want to earn the money by cheating. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed not to lie, not only in business, but in your day-to-day life as well. His truthfulness bought food and bore good food so that everyone can enjoy. This is the most important sector where we have to correct ourselves. It is not an example for you, for those who are doing business, but he set an example for those who are working under others, who are people who are paid, who are salaried, and who are taking the salary from others. He showed that the time that you are given is to be utilized for the sole purpose where you are obliged to do. Don't take the time where you have to give for your work. Don't use it for your personal things. Don't use it for your personal life. The time that you are given, that you are given a word saying that I will give my time for this, and I will make sure that I will do my duties accordingly to your rules and regulations. And if you take time from there, it means that you are cheating the firm or the person who is giving salary to you. Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he set an example for this as well. The Sahaba was a great example for this. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went and worked for a Yahudi. He went and worked for a Yahudi. He used to fetch water from the well. And he was given a sum of dates as a salary, as a cool. Just imagine, my dear brothers. It is not said that he had to fetch so much of bucket from the well.
But it is said that he has to fill the tank where that will be served for the purpose of the plantation. Just imagine, my dear respected elders and brothers, the qualities that Rasul Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us. He said, whatever the thing that you sell, if the buyer comes back saying that he doesn't like the thing, he wants to return it, take the thing and return the money. This is what the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But today we see that in our receipt itself, we say that the goods one sold are not refundable. In the receipt itself we have written, on the top of the receipt it says, in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most beneficent. On the bottom of the receipt it says, once it is sold, it is not refundable. It's gone forever. Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you sell, and if the person comes back to you and says that I don't like this, I don't want this. I thought it is good for me, but it is not good for me. So I want to return it and I want to have my money back. Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do it with a very smiling face. What about the Sahaba? The Sahaba, they went to the bazaar. One Sahabi, he went to the bazaar. He was selling things. And one person came back to him and said that I don't want this. Please return my money. He returned his money. He took back the thing and packed up and went out. One Sahabi, they were talking to each other and they called him and asked, what were you doing? He said that Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told, if a person, you sell a thing to a person, the person brings it back and says, I don't want this, return my money. You do that, you will get a place in Jannah. So I am not here to do business, I am here to gain the place in Jannah. That is what I am doing that. Just imagine, my dear brothers. We are not bothered about getting a place in Jannah. We are bothered about the money that we are going to return. So we say, no return. No return. So Allah also says, no return for you. No return for you. How hard you try, you are still in the same platform, not even an inch you have moved. Because no return for you. Very respected elders and brothers, the qualities that Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us before he became a prophet. Before he became a prophet. He was a businessman before he became a prophet. He became a husband to a wife before he became a prophet. Just imagine. If we talk about his business after he becoming a prophet, we will say that yes, there was Jibreel to help him. There was Allah to give him directions. There are other malaikas to say that this is what is right and this is what is wrong. Allah never kept a room for anyone to point a finger at Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he made him a businessman before he became a prophet. He made him a husband before he became a prophet. He made him a father before he became a prophet. And he showed, before he became a prophet, he was a good father, he was a good husband, he was a good human being, he was a good businessman. The basics of the life for a man, the guidance was given before the prophecy of Rasulullah. Then what happened after the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He became perfect. He became perfect.
after the prophecy, he became the totally perfect human being on the surface of the earth. He was not just a husband for one wife. Allah Jalla Shanahu wa Ta'ala made him marry 12, and he lived with 9 wives. So Allah Jalla Shanahu wa Ta'ala made him prove that he is not a husband for a single wife, but he was a husband for 11 wives. And he gave the knowledge and the courage to be equal, just, and the lovable husband for the whole 11 wives. None of the wives have ever said anything against their husband. What did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِي. What did he say? The best among you, the best among you is the best among your family. It is not the world that say he is a great man. It is your wife has to tell, give the certificate saying, my husband is a great man. It is not the world. Your wife has to say that my husband is the greatest husband in the world. It should not just be by words. It should be from the heart. It should be from the heart. Just imagine, my dear elders and brothers, what has happened to us today. Have we taken up this example of Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to live the life? There are a lot of problems. There are a lot of problems in our families. And there are a lot of families where they have ended up in divorce. Why? Because we have failed to practice the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam within our families. Within our families. He taught each and every wife how to live a family life. Whenever a dispute comes, there are places where he has kept quiet. Okay, let my wife speak and I am not going to speak back. I am not going to talk back. Let her speak. He has kept quiet. And there are places where he has taught his wife what they have done is wrong. They should not behave in that manner. They have to change their attitudes. They have to change their qualities. My dear respected elders and brothers, what is the situation of ours today? What are we doing at our homes? What is happening to our life? We have failed to fetch the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have failed to look into the life of Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have failed to gain, take up what the real life is about. Today the Western world accuses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of having so many wives. We all know. But have we thought what is the reason that he had so many wives in his life? Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you. We have sent you as a rahmah for this
Ummah.
We have sent you as a blessing. We have not sent you as just a person. We have sent you as a blessing, as a rahmah
for the Ummah.
So what is this all about? Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us. He says, by getting married to 11 wives, 12 wives, he says, there are only 12 types of women in the world. There are only 12 types of women in the world. If you know to judge your wife, I have set the example for you to live, how to live with her. I have set the example how to live with her. If you have a wife who is so elder to you, like myself and Hadija, Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 25 years old, Hazrat Hadija was 40 years old. I have set an example how to live with her. You have the guidance in my life. If your wife is too young, like Hazrat Aisha, she was just 9 years old, and Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 52 years old, I have set an example of how to live with them. And if you can study the lower qualities of the women, your life will be the most beautiful family life in the world. Because you will understand what sort of a woman that I am living with. Today we have failed to understand this. We have lived the life, a family life, for 30 years, 35 years, 40 years, and still we have not understood our wife. This is the truth. This is the truth. Still we don't know what type of a woman she is. And so, we say that my wife has become a headache to me. We say that very, very simply, we say, my wife is a headache to me. It is not her mistake, it is our mistake that we have failed to understand our wife. We may be very educated, holding degrees, but still for all, we have failed to understand our wife. What is this degree? For whom? My family life is a hell, but I am a degree holder. My family life is a hell, but I am a leader of a country, I am a leader of a community. How am I going to understand this? This is what I told you. That Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was perfect in every aspect. You look at him as a husband, he is the perfect husband. You look at him as a father-in-law, he is the perfect father-in-law. You look at him as a father, he is the perfect father. You look at him as a grandfather, he is the perfect grandfather. The life of Rasul, so beautiful. If we were able to practice the same life of Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, definitely our lives are going to be beautiful as this. There is no doubt in it. There is no doubt in it. But the question is, are we prepared? Are we prepared? For example, how good father he was. Hazrat Fatima was ready to give in marriage. I'm just giving this example for us to ponder what sort of a father I am. Am I a father of that caliber, or I'm just a father for the sake of father? The time has come to give Hazrat Fatima in marriage. This word was spreading very fast that Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to give Fatima in marriage. Hazrat Abu Bakr, he was the first to say that I am ready to take Fatima in marriage. Just imagine. Just imagine, my dear brothers, if we are told someone that I am going to give my daughter in marriage, and a 55-year-old man comes and says that I am interested in your daughter and I am ready to take her in marriage, what will your reaction would be? The polite one, very good, I am very pleased with you. Just think, we all talk about Islam today, we all say that we want to practice Islam today, but how far we are ready to practice it? How far we are ready to put it in, bring it in our life? Just imagine, my dear brothers, don't go far. Just think, your daughter is 17 years old, your daughter is 18 years old, you are trying to give her in marriage, and a 55-year-old man comes and says that I am interested in your daughter. What is your reaction would be? I don't have to tell you, because you know. If you keep your hand in your heart and ask, you know what is the reaction would be. You won't let him go, but you will definitely going to spoil his name as well. This man, he has no regard. This man is such a man. He has done this to me. He has come, and without any shame, he has come and asked my daughter in marriage. See, this old fellow. I don't want to use the word that what will come out. Actually, you all know. But see the attitude of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Abu Bakr came and said that if you are willing to give your daughter in marriage to me, I am ready to take it up. Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not speak any word, he kept quiet. Then he was keeping silent, so Hazrat Umar thought, so he has not said yes or no, so that I can make a move. He also went and said, Ya Rasulallah, if you are interested, that I am willing to take her as my wife. Just imagine your own friends who have been like kith and kin to you, right? Say your blood friends. If one of them come to you and say that, Machan, I am interested in your daughter, the next moment what will happen? Just imagine. Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam proved himself, I am the best of your friends. It was not just a friend, but I am best of the friends. My dear respected elders and brothers, this is what we have to think in. This is what has not come into our life yet. Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا حَقَدَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْلَوْنَ دِينَكُمْ وَخُلُقَهُ. If anyone comes to you, where you are pleased with his being and his attitudes and qualities and his character, if he has come to you and asking and he says, please give your daughter in marriage to me, فَفْعَلُوا, then do it. وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا تَقُمْ فِتْنَةً. He said, if you do not do it, that it will be a fitna in the world. He didn't say that it will be a fitna in your family. He said, it is a fitna in the world. This is what is happening today. Let go of the age. A person comes to you and says, I am interested in your daughter. And you also know he is a good person. He has a good character. But only thing that he doesn't have any means of income. The first thing that goes into our mind is the income. You think about income, after that everything is outgoing. Nothing is incoming. all outgoing. We keep on spending. How do you respect the elders and brothers? Finally, Hazrat Ali came into the matter, and he was very shy to ask, because from his old days, his younger days, he has been grown up with Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was with Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so he felt a bit reluctant to go and ask this from Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anyhow, he had the courage and he went and asked. The wahi from Allah came that he should give her in marriage to Hazrat Ali Radiallahu Ta'ala Anhu, and he gave in marriage to Hazrat Ali Radiallahu Ta'ala Anhu. And top of everything, he didn't have anything to give in mahar. This is what I'm trying to tell you about the income. When the prophet of the both worlds, the leader of the both worlds, when he gave his daughter in marriage, the son-in-law didn't have anything to give as mahar. So that he had the shield where he used to wear for the battles. So he gave that shield as a mahar and got his daughter in marriage. Just imagine. A father, a friend, he has proved that he is perfect. And normally what do? We give our daughters in marriage and we have forgotten about her. Once in a way she comes visiting home, you see our daughter comes, sit. Our son-in-law comes, sit, have food. Right, when are you going back? In a way you are saying, get out of my house. Right, you are sent back. But see the way that Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has showed us how to be a father. Hazrat Ali came. He wanted to ask a mas'ala from Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But he was a bit reluctant to ask, because he was his son-in-law. So he asked another sahabi to go and ask the question. The other sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, Ya Rasulullah, if a person has lot of madi, madi is a fluid that comes out of the penis as a pre-ejaculatory liquid. This is what we call as madi. So this person came to Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and asked, Ya Rasulullah, if a person has lot of madi, so what he has to do? Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at the sahabi and said that you do not have to have a bath for that. You will have to wash your private part entirely, completely, and then you do wuzu, that is enough for you. And before the sahabi went, he told the sahabi, and you tell the person that I know the person who asked the question. My dear respected elders and brothers, a person of lot of flow of madi, that shows that he is having lots of foreplay all the time with his wife. Hugging, kissing, playing, touching, everything with his wife. So just imagine a father having a very clean shot towards the daughter and the son-in-law. We'll only know what is happening between them. Today our fathers have failed to see that, but only when they come up with a problem, either father will take the son-in-law's side and say, my daughter is not good, or he will take the daughter's side and say, my son-in-law is not good. He was good then, when he was given in marriage, but now he has become very bad. He is not fit for my daughter. My dear respected elders and brothers, the watchful eye that the fathers had on their daughters, even after that they were given in marriage. It's not Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once I told that I know the person who asked the question for me. Because he knew what's happening with them. That is the only reason why Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, looking at the Masjid al-Nabawi, he said, Ya Ali, it is only permissible for you and me to become a muhtalim in this masjid. Other than that, no one is allowed to become a muhtalim in this masjid. Just imagine, my dear brothers, the sort of life that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had shown us. I'm very sad to say, for instance, lately an incident happened. A person got married, and he got married for the second time, and the first wife's father insisted that she give divorce to her daughter. People who talk about Islam a lot, they say that we practice Islam. What sort of Islam that we are practicing? There are few people who are encouraging adultery rather than the second marriage. Just imagine. Okay, they are pleased with the husband committing adultery. The father-in-law is pleased with the son-in-law for committing adultery, but not for the second marriage. Where are we? We talk about Islam. We talk about the Rasul. We say he is the role model of us. He is the sole guidance for us. We say he is the righteous person and he shows us the right path. Where are we? What Islam we are talking? What Islam are we practicing? A father-in-law insisting the son-in-law to give divorce to her daughter. And he says, I am a very wealthy man. I can find another husband for her. This is happening here, not far away. And top of everything, we called ourselves as real practicing Muslims. We are not real practicing Muslims, my dear respected elders and brothers. We are talking about some sort of an Islam, not the real Islam. We are talking about some sort of some person who is not a role model and not about Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just imagine, my dear brothers. Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set an example for our lives. He was the greatest and the perfect grandfather. Just imagine, today when these small boys and girls, once they come to the masjid, when they run around, we are the people who get most annoyed with them. Once we see, we go to the person and say, don't you have brains? You have brought such a small fellow into the masjid and he is running along, we can't even concentrate on our prayers. We get mad, we worked up, we get angry. And sometimes we don't know what are the words that we are using inside the masjid. The example of Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was on the pulpit, giving a khutbah. He saw Hazrat Umama radiallahu ta'ala anha, very small girl, granddaughter, just come out of the house and stepped into the masjid. He stopped his khutbah, he went down to Hazrat Umama radiallahu ta'ala anha, he carried her, came back to the pulpit, and he gave the sermon carrying Hazrat Umama radiallahu ta'ala anha. We call ourselves as good Muslims. We can't even tolerate a small boy or a girl running around the sun. We say that we can't concentrate on our salah. Of course, because our salah in our mind
in body, in action we are performing salah, but inside our head our calculation is going. My accounts have been done. Of course, you are going to get disturbed. If you are worried about Allah and Rasul, nothing is going to disturb you. Why is that? Hazrat Ali was praying and they used to take out the arrows which have been gone through his body. He didn't even feel it because he was with Allah and Rasul. Today a mosquito can't bite us. In the salah itself, our tendency without our knowledge, the hand goes in there. This is the concentration that we have. This is the situation of the speaker and the listener, both. I have already told you, we are both in the same boat. We are having this discussion to correct myself as well as yourselves. He finished his khutbah, got down, he came to the musalla, he was praying, he was praying Hazrat Imam radiallahu ta'ala. Today, if you are praying at home, we chase our own children, let go of the other children. We chase out our own children. My small boy comes and sits on the saying mat. What would I do? I want to chase him out. I want to push him out of the mat. And I don't have the courtesy to carry him and I pray. I don't have that courtesy. Why? One is that I am ignorant, I don't know that I can pray like this. Because I have never bothered to ask this from an alim, can I carry my son, can I carry my daughter and pray? Is it acceptable? I have never bothered because I am not worried about it. Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed that he is a great father-in-law, a great grandfather. This is why whenever he keeps his hand on the head of the children, they used to realize, they know that it is Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today even our children, they look at us and they say, they cry. Because the father has never been to the house. It has been long time that father has come back. And the child, when he sees, the child is scared. And the child cries. And this man also go to a corner and he cries, my child doesn't recognize me. This is our situation, my dear brothers. We give lots of time for earning money, for our business, for our companies, where we work. We are never late to that place. We are on time. But we have forgotten our family. Forgotten our children, forgotten our grandchildren. When we come back home, children are all gone to bed. Sometimes even our wife is in bed. You come, you open the door, you have a key, you come in, you go to the washroom, you eat whatever was served on the table, and you go to bed. Next morning, you wake up, you dress up, you go off, and still the children are on bed. So when the mother says, he's your father, the child cries. Because the child doesn't know the father. My respected elders and brothers, Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us how to be fathers, how to be grandfathers. But we have failed to take up all these teachings. We have failed to do so. So we are shedding tears today. Our hearts are shedding tears. There are lots of things that we can't bring it out. We are just keeping it in. We have locked it in. And we are crying in our hearts. Because we have failed to follow the teachings of Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the truth. And you expect your elders and brothers. He has proved that he is a good leader.
None of our leaders are today as the leader Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. None of them. The first quality to be a leader, Sayyidu Qawmi Khadimukum, Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. If you are a leader, you be a servant to your followers. You be a servant to your followers. Not the others will come and serve you. Today all the leaders have a group to serve them. And they are paid for it. The Sahaba served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of love. It was from their heart. They carried the shoe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wherever he goes, they used to accompany him. This is out of the love. Not because the leader is afraid that he will be shot down or gunned down there, so he is having a lot of security around him. This is not out of respect. The first thing that he taught us, if you are a leader, be a servant to others. A simple example. You are the breadwinner of your house. You are the breadwinner of your house. Just imagine, are you being ordering around the house, or have you been doing some service to the house? Have you ever taken a glass of water to your son or a daughter? Have you ever cleaned the mat that you have been sleeping, the bed that you have been sleeping? Have you ever cleaned the toilet because your wife is going to do that? Have you ever just fetched a glass of water to your wife? All due respect to the elders and brothers, we are not good leaders. We have become people who dictate order every time. Bring me that, bring me that, bring me this, do that, do this. You are not allowed to do that. You are not allowed to do this. This is what is the life that we are having at our houses. Maybe once in a way you may wash your car, because no one else is there to wash your car. If they try to wash it, they might do something to the car. So you are worried about the car, so you wash the car. Other than that, no service at all. Just imagine, my dear brothers. Just ask yourself, am I a good father? Am I a good leader? Everything begins at home. You become a good leader to your family first, before you become a leader to a community. Today the people who have become the community leaders are not good leaders at home, so they can't control the community as well. They can't have 5 members who are totally under their control. They can't serve them properly. How are these leaders going to serve a community who are not in their control? Hazrat Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he proved that he is a good leader by being a servant to the others. By being a servant to the others. The same qualities was cultivated by the Sahabas. They were also good leaders and they were good servants. For instance, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. When he was ruling, he was walking. At night, he found a woman with 2 kids. Cursing the leader because he has not understood the situation of his who were under him. So what did he do? He went to the Baitul Mal. He went to the Baitul Mal, he took some flowers and he carried it on his back. The Sahaba who was with him said, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, let me carry it. He said, will you carry the burden in the day of judgment? He goes, I have to carry my burden, so I will carry this. And he came, he cooked and he gave it to the children, and he was looking at them. They were crying, and after that they were smiling. And the woman said, "You are more eligible to be the Amirul Mu'mineen than that Umar." And he said, "If you come to the Darbar of Umar, you will see that I am also there." Next morning she came and to see that Amirul Mu'mineen was there. And the same person who had been serving her at the night was the Amirul Mu'mineen. My dear respected elders and brothers, the quality. This is the real teaching of Islam. This is what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us. The real leadership. Our leaders today have failed. The good leadership, the certain proportion of a good leadership is to create a leadership of the same caliber after him. None of our leaders were able to do this in this manner except for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he created the leadership. He knew when I go off from the surface of the earth, there should be a person who will take up my teachings as I willed, and he will take up the same thing and will guide the people in the right path. He was able to do that within 23 years. But our leadership today, they are not bothered about the leadership after them. So every person coming to leadership, they start from A again. So still the Muslims are still in the same spot. They have not moved an inch. Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us a perfect leadership. He trained Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. If I am gone, Abu Bakr will take the place. He showed that Abu Bakr is eligible to be a leader after me. It was proven when Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Hazrat Umar said, "If anyone say that Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam has passed away, I will cut his head off." The situation of Umar is such. Then imagine other sahabas that they would have gone through. But Hazrat Abu Bakr stood up and said that if anyone of you have been worshipping Muhammad, know that the Muhammad has gone out, passed away, he is dead. He is dead now, he is no more. But if there was anyone who was worshipping Allah, he is one and only, and he is alive and he is eternal. These words struck Hazrat Umar as well, so that he came back to reality. The leadership that he had. Hazrat Abu Bakr, he trained another leader after him. He trained another leader after him. When he passed away, people knew that the right person for the leadership is Hazrat Umar. So he set an example, a perfect leader. Not to leave the community. If I am dead, everything is gone. People will talk, if that person was there, it wouldn't be better than this. But what to do? Unfortunately, he has gone. It was never that a leader always created a new leadership after him, where those people will take the same teaching and the understanding and the perfect ruling along with them after the leader. A perfect leadership. Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never ever wanted to be like a king. He was never treated like a king. But if you see that the non-Muslims have seen him as an uncrowned king, in the book The Hundred. In the book The Hundred, the author has mentioned Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an uncrowned king, had all the power of a king, or you can say even more, because he had the ability to order to kill someone and no one is there to ask why you are doing this. He was an uncrowned king but lived like a servant, lived like a servant. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha once asked, Ya Rasulullah, you are already forgiven, your pre and pro sins are forgiven, why do you want to pray like this? Why do you want to put yourself into so much of difficulty? He said, Afala an akuna abdan shakura. Ya Aisha, I like to be a person who is thankful to Allah, that Allah has given me so much. And where do we stand? We have lots of things and we say, Allah has given me nothing. What has he given? See, my brother, he is well off. My sisters are well off, but I am still a pauper. What has Allah given me? This is what we are asking today. Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I should be a person who is thankful to Allah for what he has given. So he is a perfect leader. My dear respected elders and brothers, whatever the aspect you see, whatever the aspect you want, that is in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that innama bu'istu li utammima maqarim al akhlaq, I was sent to complete the good characters. I have sent for that. Are we ready to cultivate those characters? Are we ready to follow the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If we are invited for a wedding, when we go to that walima, we dress accordingly. If it is in a hotel where all the rich people come, we try to dress accordingly. If we think that it is suit with a three piece, yes, we are on in a three piece. If it is inside a masjid, we just walk in. When you come for the prayers, just imagine, I am just giving an example. I am not trying to pinpoint anyone, I am not to talk ill about anyone, I am just giving an example. If you have given an invitation from the president to meet him, how would we present ourselves in front of the president? What would we do? How long we will take to prepare? And if it is said 8 o'clock, irrespective whether it is AM or PM, we will be there at sharp time. Even before the time we will be there, waiting for the president to come, not for him to come and meet us. My respected elders and brothers, just think, 5-time prayers. We are going to stand in front of Allah, the creator, the sustainer, the cherisher. We are going to stand in front of him. The dress that we wear for our prayers. Just imagine, what are we going to wear? And how are we going to present ourselves? Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you are coming for the jamaat, jamaat is on, and you have to take wuzu and come in, even though don't run for the jamaat. Don't run for it. Take your time, okay, the jamaat has started, okay. Take your time, be calm, come to the saf, do your prayers calmly. But today, we We run for the Jamaat, not to catch the Jamaat, but to finish off with the Jamaat. That is our sole purpose. Not to catch the Jamaat, our purpose is to finish off with the Jamaat. Why do I say that? Just imagine, my dear brothers, if you have the intention of being with the Jamaat, if the Jamaat is over, you will be still seated there, doing the regular awrads, the dhikr, everything, and then you will do the dua, and then slowly you will go. But if you are in the intention of catching up with the Jamaat and finishing up with the Jamaat, then what will you do? Once the salam is given, you are out of the masjid. Once the salam is given, you are out of the masjid. My dear respected elders and brothers, this is where we have messed things up. We have failed to think and we have failed to ponder in this manner. We have given up everything what we have. And we call ourselves, we are practicing Muslims, but a person out of Islam looks at you, will never say you are a Muslim. A person who has studied the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and looks at you will never say that you are a practicing Muslim. He will say, you are practicing a different Islam and I have learned a different Islam. The Islam that I have learned is different from the Islam that you are practicing today. My dear respected elders and brothers, Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sacrificed his whole life in order that we get the Jannah, in order that we please Allah and Rasul. So if we have failed to do that today, that we are not walking on the correct path. We are not going on the correct path where it will lead us to be in Jannah. It is taking us astray in the name of Islam. In the name of Islam, it is taking us somewhere else, not to our destination. Our destination is somewhere else and we are looking towards something else. My dear respected elders and brothers, it is our sole duty today. It is not just to talk and listen, but to turn towards the correct teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to understand what the message that Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to us. And if we are able to practice it and bring it in our life, then of course we will end up in our destination, that is Jannah in the hereafter. So my dear respected elders and brothers, it is our time. The time has come. It is there no time for us to stay back, think and respond. Now it is the time that we put it into practice. Be a good Muslim. Everything cannot be told in a gathering like this. Only we can touch and go on certain topics for us to ponder. That there are a lot of things that we have to learn. We should take our time, a little of our time, every day, go and sit with an alim, a practicing, a pious, a trustworthy alim. Go sit with them and ask, what is the reality of life? How Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to conquer? And how he was able to cherish on all these aspects, learn, and then become a good Muslim. So my dear respected elders and brothers, the message that I bring to you today is not that we practice what we know, we correct ourselves, we understand what is the real purpose of a life, we go to the alims, we sit with them, we take subject by subject. I am going to get married today, then I will go and sit with the alim and I will ask how to be a good husband. What are my responsibilities? What are my duties? What are my obligations? I will sit with an alim and I will make sure that I will fulfill that as a husband. If I want to do business, I go and sit with an alim. I say, this is the nature of my business. Is it halal or haram in Sharia? Second, how do I do business? I come across all sorts of these things. A, B, C, D, and E, and F. I come across all these things. How am I to manage in these? How am I going to respond for these things? What is the Sharia way? What is the real Sunnah way to face all these problems? Sit with them. Ask. You are going to become a father. Your wife is going to give birth to a child. You are going to become a father. Go sit with an alim and ask him, what are my duties as a father? Today people look for names. They want modern names. They come with letters. We want a name under A. We want a name under Z. The poor alim, poor Hazrat, what he has to do? He has to chase all the things. He has to use a net and find out new names with short letters. Long names? No, we are not interested. Short names, yes. Short names, yes. Recently, a 5-year-old boy, he came to me and said, I know a song, can I sing to you? I said, of course. He said, Buffalo Soldier. I said, very beautiful. And I said, son, if you sing this in English, everybody will please you. But if you sing this in Tamil or Sinhala, everybody will hit you. This is the truth. What is the Buffalo Soldier? Ni hara bataya. Okay? If you turn it into Sinhala, Buffalo Soldier is a ni hara bataya. Perma Mati, Ani Karan, you are the same. If you are the same. My dear respected elders and brothers, why I am saying this today is, today things have been put in a such a way that the bad things also have been shown to us in a good manner. Bad things also have been served to us in a good manner, so we accept it. This is what has happened to the Muslims today. They call themselves as Muslims, but they see they are like the Jews, they are like the Christians. Because it has been served to them in a good manner. But Islam, every time it has been served in a bad manner. So everybody rejects. Says Islam, oh extremist. Islam, oh terrorism. Islam, oh we can't practice it. Islam, no way. Why? Every time it has been served in a bad manner. Who are responsible for that? You and me. We are the people who have served Islam in a bad manner. And those people have served their bad things in a good manner. So we say, you have to be like a white man. Vellakaran polarito. What is there in Vellakaran? You go to Europe and see, he don't even feed his child. He don't even feed his child. If he is hungry, he will buy for himself. Husband and wife will go to a restaurant. Husband will pay for his meal and wife will pay for her own. And we say, we should be like a relevant. What is the... This is how it is served. This is how it is shown. My respected elders and brothers, it is the duty of you and me to serve Islam in a proper manner. We have to serve good in a good manner so that the people will see this is the sole good. There is only one good, that is Islam. So my message today for you all is to, at this Rabiul Awal, the month of the death of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has gone, but his teachings are still there, and we have to serve that teachings in a proper manner and a beautiful manner, that the Muslims as well as the non-Muslims will accept it, and they will say, this is the only good in the world that we can accept. May Allah give us a tawfiq to be those who are in good and those who are serving Islam in the proper manner. Ya Allah, engalude paavangalai mannikondalvaga. Ya Allah, theriyamal ethaniyo paavangalai seidhuvittom ya Allah. Ya Allah, ungalude nabiyude vaalkai paalpaduthivittom ya Allah. Unda nabiyude vaalkai sampoornamaga paalpaduthivittom ya Allah. Ya Allah, ungalude nabiyude vaalkai engalude vaalkai eduthu nadakka tawfik seivaaga.
இன்ஷால்லா எங்களுடைய பெண்மணிகளுடைய வாழ்க்கையிலே உண்மையான நபியுடைய வாழ்க்கையை கண்டு விடுவாயா. இன்ஷால்லா உண்மையான இஸ்லாத்தை எங்கள் அனைவருடைய உள்ளத்திலையும் போட்டு விடுவாயா. இன்ஷால்லா அல்லாஹ்வுடைய கட்டளையையும் நபியுடைய வாழ்க்கையையும் அது எவ்வளவு கஷ்டமாக இருந்தாலும் எடுத்து நடக்கக்கூடிய அளவுக்கு பண்புகளை எங்களுக்கு தந்தல்வாயா. இன்ஷால்லா எங்களுடைய குணங்களை எங்களுடைய பண்புகளை சீராக்கி விடுவாயா. இன்ஷால்லா எங்களை பார்த்து மற்றவர்களுக்கு ஹிதாயத்து கிடைக்கும் அளவுக்கு நடக்கக்கூடிய பாக்கியத்தை எங்கள் அனைவருக்கும் தந்தருவாயா. இன்ஷால்லா எங்கள் அனைவரையும் உண்மையான தீனை பின்பற்றக்கூடிய உண்மையான முஸ்லிம்களாக ஆக்கிடுவாயா. இன்ஷால்லா எங்களுடைய குற்றம் குறைகளையும் மறைத்து விடுவாயா. இன்ஷால்லா நீ சத்தாராக இருக்கிறாய் யாழ்லா, எங்கள் அனைவர்களுடைய குற்றம் குறைகளையும் மறைத்து விடுவாயா. இன்ஷால்லா இந்த இடத்திலே இருக்கக்கூடிய அனைவர்களுடைய பாவங்களையும் நம்மை தந்தருவாயா. இன்ஷால்லா இந்த இடத்துல இருக்கக்கூடிய அனைவரையும் நீ தீனுக்காக கபூல் செய்து கொள்வாயா. யாழ்லா தீன் என்று தவறான விஷயங்கள் எல்லாம் இன்றைக்கு சொல்லப்படுகிறது யாழ்லா. யாழ்லா அந்த தவறான விஷயங்களை பின்பற்றுவதை விட்டு எங்களை தடுத்து விடுவாயா, எங்களை பாதுகாத்து விடுவாயா. யாழ்லா உன்னுடைய உண்மையான தீனை உண்மையான முறையில் உண்மையான உறுதியை பின்பற்றக்கூடியவர்களா எங்களை ஆக்கிடுவாயா. யாழ்லா இந்த விழாவை உன்னுடைய மாத்திரம் கிருஷ்ணையை கொண்டு கதை செய்து கொள்வாயா. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. وصلى الله وسلم على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. For more lectures visit slhub.com.